So if you have not guessed it, today is Palm Sunday. Now for our theme introduction, I would like to offer you a thought or reflection. Imagine for a moment that you went to Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle or Edinburgh Castle, and there was a huge parade. You saw the military horses, the military bands, you saw people and crowds everywhere. And you were waiting to see the Queen and the royal family. So the chariots come out, and as you're watching, you see the Queen coming out in all her regalia, riding a children's bicycle. What would you think? It doesn't make sense at all, does it? Yet in today's Bible reading, we see a similar situation. When Jesus enters into Jerusalem, that first Palm Sunday, riding not a stallion or a mare, he was riding a donkey, a young donkey. It would have been very small at that. So our theme today is the triumphal entry, or a... So let me say that again. Our theme is, was it a triumphal entry or a travesty of events?
From Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2 and 19 to 29, can be found on page 492 of the Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
Our next reading from the New Testament is on page 854. And it speaks of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mountain of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mountain of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.
Let us pray. Living and almighty God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So, was it a triumphant entry or a travesty of events? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to read along. Don't put them away. Today is Palm Sunday. This is a day where we commemorate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. 7 days before the Lord was resurrected, he presented himself to Israel as the promised Messiah and King. This was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, but the majority of people did not understand it. They did not understand what they were getting themselves into when they were worshipping the Lord on that first Palm Sunday. Yet many who were present at the time worshipped him nonetheless. The events of Palm Sunday are written in the four Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that the people went before and cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Matthew 21, verse 9. And how quickly did things change? Within a few short days, they went from crying, "Hosanna," to crying, "Crucify." They did not know what they were getting themselves into. Before the week was over, Christ was indeed crucified. Crucified on a Roman tool of execution. But the good news? He rose again. Jesus had walked for 33 years on this earth, teaching with power and authority. He was fulfilling prophecy of God, telling people of what is to come. And Christ's entry into Jerusalem was another display of his power. Yet from the outset, the question does remain, was it a triumphant entry, really? Or was it a travesty of events? I would like to look at 4 points this morning. The first point is prophecy. We read in our passage that Jesus chose to ride a young donkey into Jerusalem. How ludicrous. A donkey. When was the last time we saw the Queen riding a donkey in London, Windsor, or Edinburgh? When was the last time we saw the Pope riding a donkey in Rome? They don't. But Jesus did. The donkey has a different representation in the Bible than a horse. Whereas a horse represented military power, the donkey represented the working people. Whereas the horse represented the might of an empire, the donkey represented mercy and grace. We saw a donkey that Mary rode on when she went to give birth to our Lord. But you still may be wondering, so what? What's the big deal about a donkey? The big deal is prophecy. We read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." God's prophet Zechariah spoke these words in 520 BC. Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians just 66 years earlier. In Zechariah's day, Jerusalem was still in ruins, and the process of rebuilding Jerusalem had not yet begun. But Zechariah spoke of a day when the Messiah would come, when Jerusalem will be rebuilt and filled with glory. Many people rejected Jesus as soon as he came. We read in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet on this day, many people welcomed Jesus with open arms. They worshipped him. They worshipped him despite the fact he was riding on a donkey. They worshipped him as he fulfilled one of God's prophecies. You may also be thinking, so what? What's the big deal? Well, scholars say that the probability of one person fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled would be 1 in 100 trillion of a chance. To put that into perspective, that is 100 with 12 zeros behind it. And Jesus did not only fulfill 8 prophecies, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. He also prophesied that he would come again. And the fact that Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies the first time should help us to be rest assured that Jesus will fulfill the other prophecies too. So the prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus rode that young donkey into Jerusalem. And that leads to our next point. The people. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, there was a multitude of people surrounding him. There were a multitude of several different types of people. In verses 29 to 30, it shows us that some were followers. We read, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on, and which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it to me. And we know that as he untied it, the disciples said to the person who owned the donkey that the Lord has need of it. The person knew who the Lord was. They were not strangers. They were followers already. There were many followers following and rejoicing on that first day. These people were thrilled to see the Messiah, ecstatic. But we know that was not always the case. As we surveyed the crowd, we also saw that there were enemies. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. The Pharisees were offended that the disciples and followers were praising Jesus at that time. They knew the law. They understood that no man should be worshipped. Yet Jesus did not rebuke his disciples and followers. He said, if they don't cry out, God will give voice to these stones that even they will cry out and give praise. Jesus was declaring that he was the Messiah. And wherever he was, there was never a shortage of those challenging his claim. While on earth, Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, scribes, and elders. So it's no wonder that today, that the people who follow Christ will be challenged by many people. and criticized. But there were not only followers and enemies that were there at that time. There were also people who were skeptics. People who were not quite sure what to make of this Jesus character. There was a multitude of people, a great number. And in this crowd, there were people questioning in their hearts. They were questioning, but yet they joined with the rest of the disciples in praising. And I think this should give us pause for thought. They praised despite not knowing. They praised despite questioning. And although some of these people would later go on to cry, "Crucify," some of them also would cry as they saw the Messiah on the cross. And some people here this morning may be skeptical. Maybe you haven't made your mind up yet. Well, I would like to encourage you to be in the moment this morning, to consider what God says in His Word. And that leads to praise. The multitude of people went before and cried out, saying, as we read in Matthew, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This word, Hosanna, which we use usually in conjunction with Hallelujah, actually means "help, I pray," or "save, I pray." These people wanted to be saved, and they recognized in Jesus the person who was able to save them. We read in John that they took their palm branches and they laid it down before him. These palms do not only represent the cross as we see it here. They also represent victory, triumph, and praise. There was a lot of symbology within this. So, as they praised him, they were praising him and recognizing who he was as Lord, as a king, as a savior. Verse 37. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Could you imagine what that would have looked like? This city filled to the brim with people coming to worship on the Passover. And everybody lifted their voices in rapture, praising this one person riding on a donkey. They rejoiced. They rejoiced because this person, they thought, was going to liberate them from the Roman occupation. But some of them captured that Jesus was the person who was going to defeat the forces of darkness, defeat sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And he was going to give them freedom. So they praised him because of what he did before. But they were praising him for who he was and what he was going to do. Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth and Galilee, the king of David, the king of Israel, the king that comes in the name of the Lord. Are we ready to praise him? This multitude praised him for what he had done. for mighty works of power that they saw up until that point. And Jesus was going to do something far greater soon after. He was going to raise from the grave. He was going to defeat death and darkness. And I would like to borrow the words of the Reverend Jeremy Shirley. Jeremy wrote, "The first time he came riding on a donkey, when he returns, he will be riding on a white horse. The first time he was mocked and scorned, when he returns, people will fear, tremble, and praise. The first time he came weeping, when he returns, he will be coming with a shout. The first time he came to redeem humanity, when he returns, he will rule over humanity. The first time he came alone, when he returns, he is coming with saints and angels. The first time he was mocked and scorned, when he returns, his enemies will be under his feet. The first time he hung on a Roman cross, the next time he will sit on a throne. The first time he was judged in Pilate's court, when he returns, he will be the judge. The first time he was meek and lowly, when he returns, he will come in power and glory as the Lion of Judah. The first time he wore a crown of thorns, the next time he will wear the crown of crowns. The first time he was called King of the Jews, he will return as the King of Kings. The first time he came as a lowly Nazarene, the next time he is coming as the Lord of Lords." You see, we are in a similar situation as those who were there on that first Palm Sunday. And we have a choice to make. We know that some of those people who cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he," later on cried, "Crucify him." Yet, we should not forget that even though there were people who changed their minds on those few days, there were also many who cried as they saw the Lord on the cross. They were sincere as they looked at him riding on that donkey and laid down their palms. And they were sincere when they believed that he would come again. As I said earlier, the word Hosanna literally means "save, I pray." And the amazing thing is that the name Jesus, as it appears in Hebrew, means Yahweh saves. So these people, as they were crying, "Hosanna, save, I pray," they were literally saying it to the one whose name means God saves. Today, as we come to our Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, we are not here for a simple historical reenactment, but we are here gathered together to remember the one who changed history. We do not know what the future may hold, but we can trust in faith the one who holds all of our futures in his almighty hands.